Galatians chapter 5. I had somebody ask me 2 weeks ago when I was here. They said, when is the series that you did on the fruit of the Spirit going to be on CD? And I said, I guess whenever I finish it. They said, well, you hadn't finished it yet. I said, no. And so I knew they hadn't been here real often. But anyway, I did happen to realize that I had started this series, and then we had visitors several weeks, and I generally try to do things more basic to what we believe when we have visitors. But I have two messages left in this series, and I'm going to do one today, and then another one either next week or the week after, and then we'll have the entire series of the fruit of the Spirit on CD. So if you would look here in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, there's a lot of things about this, and as we did the last message or two, there's something I want to point out about this, and I'll just mention it today. But really, all of it says the fruit of the Spirit, and then he lists these individual things. But really, what we find is that the fruit of the Spirit is comparable to the life of Christ being in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we produce simply by good works. It's allowing Christ to live through us and in us. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is about here, is love, joy, peace, and so forth. What's interesting is every one of these things that we've studied so far, and that is the love, the joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, every one of those, we looked at scriptures that showed that those were attributes of God Almighty and Christ Himself. And so when we have the fruit of the Spirit, again, it is Christ in us, the Bible says, the hope of glory. And that's what God desires for us. God desires for us to allow the life of Christ to live through us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, we know and understand that salvation is by grace, through faith, apart from the deeds of the law. There are no works involved in salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so when we talk about things that we do in our life, always understand that the things that we do for Christ's sake, we do as a result of being saved, not in order to get saved. We are saved by grace. We are sealed with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. And so as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves us, places us into His body, and seals us into the day of redemption with a desire that we serve Him. But we can't do it on our own, folks. It's like we heard in Sunday school this morning. If we trust in our flesh, you know what you get? Flesh. The works of the flesh. But the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now today, we're down to verse 23, meekness, he says, and then temperance. Against such there is no law. Meekness is what we want to look at today. And again, I want you to notice that meekness is an attribute that's frequently used in relation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The dictionary definition of meekness. Now, a lot of times people confuse meekness with weakness. And we're going to look at that in a few moments. But the dictionary definition of meek is to be humbly patient or docile. It has to do with being compliant, gentle, kind, that kind of thing. All of those things are a good definition. But the Bible further describes what meekness is. I guess if you wanted to consider a word that was the opposite of meekness, it would be haughtiness. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So to be haughty is not to be meek. To be meek is not to be haughty. You remember the Apostle Paul said,
I am what I am by the grace of God. We have nothing to boast in within ourselves. We are what we are by God's grace. And so we are to allow this fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in our life, this fruit of the Spirit of meekness. You know, I was reading this morning, early this morning, back in Numbers about Moses. And the Bible says that, well, let's turn back there in Numbers chapter 12, because this is the first time the word is, I believe it's the first time, I'm not sure, but I'm almost certain this is the first time the word meek is used in the Bible. And it's used in reference to Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, now you would think if there was anybody that would have a reason to be a little bit exalted, a little bit puffed up, it might be Moses. I mean, after all, here's a man who has been called of God to lead the entire nation of Israel. Millions of people, no doubt. And they are basically under his charge. This is the man to whom the Lord appeared on the mount and gave the law. You know, I was thinking about this contrast of Moses and Paul. Paul said that a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan, was given him lest he should be exalted above measure due to the revelation given to him. Well, here Moses is. If anybody had a reason to kind of be puffed up and exalted, it'd be Moses. But notice what the Bible says about him in verse 1 of Numbers 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Basically, what you're going to see in here is Miriam and Aaron should have just minded their own business. Somebody always wants to judge somebody else for what they're doing or who they're doing it with, that kind of thing. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he spoken also not by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Think about that. He said that Moses was the most meek man. I guess you could say meekest. I don't know if that's a word or not. But he said that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he uphold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. These people, in other words, what you have here is a direct contrast between haughtiness and meekness. You have Aaron and Miriam, and they're somewhat haughty. They say, "Listen, the Lord spoke to us also." The Lord sets the record straight real quick. He said, "Moses is my man." And he was meek. The meekest man upon the face of the earth, the Bible says. Now, there are several things. I'm not going to turn to all these verses. Let me just kind of read them for you. I've got them written down here because of time's sake. But in Psalms 25:9, the Bible says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." In other words, a meek individual is one that is teachable. A haughty individual is a person that is very difficult to communicate with, generally because a person that is haughty and high-minded thinks they know it all. They don't need anybody to teach them. Let me tell you something. If you ever get to a place in your life where you don't believe that anybody can teach you anything, you're at a really bad place. You know who the smartest person in the world is the person that realizes how little they know. That's the most intelligent person in the world. When I hear preachers preach, I've been preaching 30 years. I've been studying the Bible longer than that. But you know what? When I hear preachers preach, it's rarely, almost always learn something from the preaching and the teaching that I hear. But you know, people that have a haughty spirit and are high-minded, they're not going to accept the Word of God because basically people many times have the idea, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind's already made up. And that's a bad attitude to have, folks, because the Word of God is, we never arrive when it comes to learning and studying the Word of God. Now, in Psalms 37:11, the Bible says, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So meekness makes a person teachable. Meekness makes a person peaceable. And then in Psalm 76:9, the Bible says, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, the Lord lifted up the meek, he cast the wicked down to the ground. Psalms 149:4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. And then over in Matthew, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, very familiar passage to most people. It's a kingdom message. You know that by verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ came forth preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I guess that's probably one of the most quoted verses in the world, isn't it? Because everybody wants to think that they're meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But notice what Christ said about himself. Look over in Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I would say that Moses lost his spot in first place when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. He might have been the meekest man upon the earth, but the Lord was meek and perfect. And he said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Also, in Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I just want to establish the fact again, as we have each lesson, that these fruit of the Spirit are attributes of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, remember one of the fruit we looked at was gentleness, wasn't it? Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:1, now Paul myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. So the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in several places in relation to his meekness. Now, how is this fruit, and what should this fruit of the Spirit bring forth in our life? In other words, how should it? You see, the fruit of the Spirit has to do with affecting that which we do. There's a lot of people that they get saved, and the idea they have is that they have their ticket to heaven, and you know, I know the Lord saved me, and so they don't really care much about Bible study and learning and so forth. Well, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we study, what happens? We learn. We accumulate knowledge. Out in Texas, I did 3 lessons out there on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I had to preach 4 times, and so somebody asked me, said, what are you going to do for the 4th message? I said, I don't know. I just brought 3 out here. And so the last day, I just preached on ignorance. I figured that was the opposite of all 3 of the others. But knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And you know, when you do those, you do a word study on those words in the Bible, folks, there's a lot of ground to cover. God desires for us to be knowledgeable. God does not desire for us to walk around in ignorance, and it is not spiritual to be ignorant. God desires for us to study, be established in His Word, be found in His Word, but He also desires that that Word that we hide in our heart affects our life day by day. Amen. Now, look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Just 4 or 5 things I want you to notice. Galatians chapter 6. Meekness, first of all, toward those that are overtaken in a fault. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And I believe this is one of the weakest areas of religious practice today, if you want to put it that way, as far as obedience to the verses. Because it seems sometimes that people have such a vindictive nature that the idea is if a man's down, kick him. Well, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, notice now, in the spirit of meekness. Well, then if you see somebody overtaken in a fault, is that an opportunity for you to glory and be like the Pharisees pray, Lord, I thank God that I'm not as this publican? That's the attitude a lot of people have. Amen. Well, Paul said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And notice the next thing, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You better be careful, folks, about pointing the finger at somebody else. You might end up right where they are. People say sometimes, I had somebody tell me one time, say, well, I never hear you preach against smoking and drinking and that kind of thing. I said, I tell you what, when I quit eating too much, I'll preach against all those other things. We all got our faults. We all got our faults. Well, thank God, in Jesus Christ, we're perfected, we're made righteous, and when we see a person that is overtaken in a fault, we as brothers and sisters in Christ are to restore such a one, and we do it in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That law is found in Romans 13. Paul said the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, love thy neighbor as thyself. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know what Paul told the Galatians? He said, you bite and devour one another. If there's anybody that ought to be compassionate, loving, and kind, it's people that understand the grace of God. If there's anybody that ought to be ready to help those that are overtaken in a fault. I had a man one time tell me that he was going to come to church when he overcame certain things in his life. I said, listen, you don't have to overcome anything in your life. He said, well, I'd be just so ashamed. You know, listen, folks, the grace of God, Paul said over there in Colossians chapter 3, he said, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. There have been people that left this church years ago. There was a man that left the church right after I started pastoring about 30 years ago. But this man knew the message that we preached. Several years back, he came back for several weeks, even a couple of months off and on. And you know what he told me? He said, I thought when I came back, people would really be hateful toward me because I haven't been here supporting the work. He said, but this is the most gracious bunch of people I've ever met. And I thank God for that. You see, people can be that way when they understand the grace of God. But by the grace of God, so go all of us. You see, we have nothing to glory in, folks. That's what meekness is about. The fruit of the Spirit, meekness, it has to do with understanding who we are and what we are in our flesh and the ability to fall and the ability to succumb to temptation and the ability to have things bad happen in our life. And rather than being down on people like that, say what? You condoning sin in people's life? That's not my job. I'm not to judge them. The Lord does that. The Lord has already paid for the sin. A person, what they do in their life is between them and the Lord. You and I should be loving, kind. The fruit of the Spirit, the meekness, should be extended toward those that are overtaken in a fault. Not only that, but look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Meekness is needed and should be extended toward those with whom we disagree. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul is fixing to outline seven unities. Seven things there to be unity about in the body of Christ. In verse 4 he says, there's one body, one spirit of your calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Amen. We put a lot of emphasis on those ones. But I want you to notice back in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The vocation wherewith we're called has nothing to do with what you do to put food on the table. It has to do with being a saint of God, a member of the church, the body of Christ. And in that vocation, we're to walk worthy of that vocation. And he says in verse 2, to do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, for bearing one another in love. So there's somebody out there that doesn't keep the unity of the Spirit. Are we to be haughty and high-minded toward them? No. They're brothers in Christ. They're sisters in Christ. We are to have meekness toward them with all lowliness. And again, folks, just think back to, there was a time when you didn't believe exactly like you believe now. I always think about Brother Moore. For those of you that don't know him, he passed away just about a month ago. And started more Bible studies and classes and taught more people than anybody I know of. But he told the story often about the man who began to share the truth of him about rightly dividing the word and about the gospel, the grace of God, and Paul's doctrine and so forth. And he said he would get so angry at him. But he said that man would never one time raise his voice. And he'd say, yeah, but Brother E.C. And he'd show him the scripture. And he said, finally, I set out to prove him wrong. And that's when I saw he was right. You see, folks, the spirit of meekness. When you disagree with something, and I know I have a hard time with this because it's always that tendency to want to get into a shouting match or be right and that kind of thing. But it's important that we learn to have meekness, lowliness of mind, and so forth. Notice what Paul says over 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. I can tell you that's a verse that I had a hard time, never had a hard time understanding it. I had a hard time obeying it. Because you do have a tendency to want to strive people. And it's hopefully always out of a pure heart and the desire to have people see the truth. But the servant of the Lord must not strive. He should be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Notice, in meekness, instructing those that who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the spirit of meekness is to be extended toward those that are overtaken. That spirit of meekness is to be extended toward those that we disagree with. And then notice what Paul says to Titus over in Titus chapter 3. And I think this is especially important because I think as we look at this next to the last point here, we'll get kind of an idea of what meekness really is. I said a moment ago, meekness is not weakness. I believe when you believe something, you ought to stand for it. You ought not to back down. And what I find in Titus chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Now, it's kind of hard to balance that verse with some other verses. I say kind of hard, but I think by looking at these verses, we really understand what meekness is. And let me try to explain it this way. When I was out in Texas, when I was preaching out there, as I often do, I made some references to whenever I was part of a particular church and how I joined that church and thought I was saved, and then later on realized I wasn't. I never called the church by name. I just mentioned that as the religious system I was a part of. There was a lady afterwards came up and she said, "You know, I don't understand why you have to attack other religions." I said, "Well, which religion did I attack?" She said, "Well, I don't think you ever did call it by name, but," she said, "I know who you're talking about." I said, "Well, would you look over in Romans chapter 16? And so she turned over and Paul says, "Mark them which cause divisions, offenses contrary to the doctrine," and so forth. And then these verses here came to mind. And I said, "Let's go over here and sit down at the table." And so she did, and she was very open and receptive. I said, "I want you to notice something. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord says, 'Show it all meekness unto all men.'" I said, "But notice back in chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, 'There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true.'" Well, now, wait a minute, Paul. You just said to speak evil of no man. And two chapters before, you call people evil beasts and slow bellies. Those were not complimentary terms in Paul's day. He not only called them that, he said their mouths must be stopped. They're subverting whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for a filthy lucre for money. What a condemnation. You know what that tells me? That tells me when you expose false doctrine, that's not evil speaking. You see what Paul said in Titus chapter 3? In verse 2, to speak evil of no man. Well, Paul just spoke evil or said some things people would equate with being evil, wouldn't they? I mean, if I stood up here and I named a preacher down the street and I said that man is a heretic and he's a liar and he's preaching for money and I called his name and exposed who he was, you'd say, "You're being evil." And so I wouldn't do that. But to expose false doctrine and individuals that teach it is not evil. Amen. He said, speaking evil of no man, and then turned around. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3, look down in verse 8, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that I affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." That tells me something. Paul said, "Speak evil of no man. Be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." And that tells me that it is not evil to expose the teaching of false doctrine and those that do it. You shouldn't do it in a mean and ornery way. But listen, a preacher is to expose that which is false. And you do that by pointing out the errors. That's what Paul was doing right here. The errors that were being taught about subverting whole houses, telling people they had to keep the law and so forth. All I'm trying to say, folks, is don't look at an individual preacher and feel like the man is not being kind and meek when he exposes that which is false, because that's what God tells him to do. So there is meekness toward those that we disagree with. There's meekness toward all men. But that all men does not mean that we accept all the false teaching in the world around us just to be nice. You can't do that. You can't agree with people that are preaching that which is false and that which is wrong just for the sake of getting along. That's called ecumenicalism. The ecumenical movement of getting everybody together and everybody agreeing, that's not going to happen. And so we stand for the truth, but we do it in meekness, in kindness, in gentleness. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, another specific instruction to the young preacher Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in 1 Timothy 6:3, again, Paul is pointing out those that teach false doctrine. He says in verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to knowledge, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, diverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, it's so interesting in Paul's epistles how many times he references false doctrine in relation to the desire for the one teaching it to make money. And I find that fascinating considering what's going on in the world today. I saw a video last week, folks, that absolutely blew me away. Brother Mark Rumfella had it, and we were watching it out at Jerry's house. And this preacher, maybe you've seen it on YouTube or something, this preacher's up there in front of this huge congregation of people. And there's got about four steps going down the floor, and the people are coming up there and throwing their dollars on the steps. And he gets all the money up there, and then he's up there. I can't even imitate it with my arthritis. He's up there doing some kind of dance and jig and shouting and hollering and everything, and the people just keep on throwing the money. I mean, the whole thing, it turns into a three-ring circus. This guy lives in a house that costs $3.5 million. And there's all those people out there. The guy on the video that recorded it had to sneak the camera in. And he had to film it from the back because he said, as people come into the church, they canvass them. And said the ones that are well-dressed and decked out in jewelry get to come right down front. And said all the people that are homeless and look like they don't have much money, they're kept in the back. So the cameras that pan around the front never see that on TV. You think there's not some stuff out there that needs to be exposed. And Paul said here, Titus, in Romans chapter 16, that those teaching false doctrine were doing it for the money. And he says right here in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And then notice the next words, "Fight the good fight of faith." You wouldn't think about a soldier out there on the front line with a gun, with a bayonet, charging somebody as being meek, would you? But you know what? That man's defending himself. The Bible talks about the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, there's a balancing act here. There is meekness. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness, but it is not weakness. Stand. Fight the good fight. Be true to the truth of the Word of God, but do it with all righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Meekness is an attribute of God Himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He desires for us to be meek, but He never desires for us to be weak and to be trodden over by false teaching and false teachers. Stand for the truth, but do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another, and do it for Christ's sake, because He loved you and gave Himself for you. Would you stand with me for prayer?